Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Today is, time flies. It's October 1st, 2016, and we're here live at the Premier Gun Show at the Mayburn Center in Temple. So if you're riding down the highway or you're in the local towns or if you're in town, you need to come on out to the Premier Gun Show at the Mayburn Center in Temple. Easy to get to. Lots of signs showing which way to get here. Lots of vendors, like over 300 vendors or tables, guns, knives, accessories. You can't beat it. We are right here at the in the lobby. So as you walk through the door, you'll see us here if you look to the right. And I can't wait to see you. Come on up and say hi. Check out the show as we're doing it live. We'll be here for the next 2 hours. Got a lot of things going on. So once again, we'll be streaming live too. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com in about 30 minutes. And you can listen to us through there and watch us and all sorts of good things. Unfortunately, we won't be able to take any calls when we're doing the remote. But it's okay. We'll be giving out a lot of good information. I'll be having the manager of the show come on after I do my opinion piece, and we'll get to see what he has to say about the show and any other special deals. We also have the NRA booth out front. I highly recommend, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to come or if you're not a member of the NRA, to sign up. And what's nice about it is if you do sign up at the booth outside, your entry fee is free. So if you think about it, a membership to the NRA is not that expensive. You sign up there, you just save yourself $8 getting in the door, so you can in reality think your NRA membership was $8 cheaper than what it would normally cost. So do it. It supports all those gun enthusiasts and rights for the Second Amendment. So check it out. Come on over here to the Premier Gun Show. Come on in. Sign up for the NRA. Come check it out here. Say hello to me and take a look at all the goodies that are going on. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you always know and you're always prepared to see what the heck Matt's going to say next in his opinion piece. Well, this week is no different. So I'm going to start off with the opinion piece. And this week it's called Do Something. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've told you time and time again, there are three types of people out there. There's the informed, and you've got either active participants or non-active. You've got the ignorant, and then you've got the idiots. The idiots, stay away from me. You're lost with no help, and it's just impossible. The ignorant, you're not stupid, you're just lacking knowledge. So come see me, and I'll help you out on that. The informed, the active ones know and do things to help. The non-active ones, well, they're just as bad as the idiots. However, the non-active informed are more self-centered. They want the info, they want the knowledge, but they won't do anything to help. Well, once again, I'm getting help from those in the past to help me share the motivation to get everybody off their butts and do something for the common good. Today, I'm going to be getting assistance from President Teddy Roosevelt. I'll be reading portions of two of his speeches concerning immigration and doing something by getting in the arena. Now, for those of you who already do things, thank you. And for those of you who don't, get off your butts and do something. Now, the words of our president, Teddy Roosevelt. I'm going to read to you a couple portions of his speeches. And then after that, we're going to bring on Keith, the manager here of the Premier Gun Show. We're going to say hi and see what he's got going on. The first one I want to talk or say is the one about immigration, because we all know that immigration is a hot topic here. This is a quote from Theodore Roosevelt's speech. He says, "In the first place, we should insist that if the immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American and assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with everyone else. For it is an outrage to discriminate against any such man or woman or whoever because of creed or birthplace or origin. But this is predicated upon the person's becoming in every facet an American and nothing but an American. There can be no divided allegiance here. Any man who says he's an American, but something else also, isn't an American at all. We have room for but one flag, the American flag. We have room for one language here, and that is the English language. And we have room for but one sole loyalty, and that loyalty is to the American people." Man, that's good. That's from President Theodore Roosevelt. Now, let me read to you the man in the arena. Whenever I read this or see it or hear it from somebody else, I always get a lump in the throat, and it's just, man, because I feel that I'm a man in the arena, and there's so many of you out there who are in the arena. But let me read to you what he says. This is an excerpt from the speech, Citizenship in a Republic, delivered at the Sorbonne in Paris, France, on the 23rd of April, 1910. Here it goes. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Wow. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, being in the arena any day of the week is compared to not being in the arena. And I'm going to ask that you join me in that arena for whatever it is, the causes that is good for liberty, freedom, prosperity. Those are the causes that we need to fight for. All right. Now, we've got a lot going on in the show. And I need a headset for Keith. Keith, why don't you come on over here, buddy? We've got the manager of the Premier Gun Show. We're going to get him on for a couple minutes and talk to him and see what we've got going on. We've got a big show here. Keith, can you hear me in the mic, in the headphones?
Yes, I can.
Keith, welcome to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. I want to tell you again, thank you for the opportunity to come here and broadcast live at the gun show here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've got set up here, what people can look forward to. I was mentioning the NRA booth out there for $8 off. You might want to talk about that too. But go ahead and tell us what you got going on here today.
Well, today we've got a lot of exciting deals going on, gun show. We've got shooting supplies, ammo, guns, knives, everything that Matt mentioned earlier. And, yes, we're going to have a Humvee from the Temple Museum of Modern Warfare that's coming down in a little bit.
Oh, that's
also
cool.
And also with the NRA, you can come in and help defend your Second Amendment rights by signing up and getting some information from the NRA booth. But we've got a wide variety of items in here that you just couldn't find at a regular big box store. We've got items that are new and used, of course, but just the variety you won't find at any store because there's 300 tables of the guns, knives, and ammo here, and all sorts of specialty items that you can find, plus a little home decor if you're looking for that sign for your man cave or
oh, yeah, there's a lot of good-looking signs, yeah.
So you're covered up in that respect as well.
Now, I took a quick walk through to the tables, and like Keith was saying, there's a lot of interesting stuff here, stuff that you definitely don't see at the big box stores. So if you're looking for that something special, you just might find it here. So you want to come to the Premier Gun Show at the Mayborn Center here in Temple. And like I said, Keith, you got signs up all over the place. I was a little concerned about the construction, but the construction's clear. Everything's good, easy traveling, lots of parking. The parking's free, right?
Yes, parking free. There are signs at the exit 303. We ran them yesterday. We drove them again last night to make sure that everything's pretty visible. The construction is a concern for us, but we've got, as I said, signs up, and you can almost hardly run very far before you run into a sign.
Yeah,
I
noticed them quite a ways out there. Cool. Do you have anything special besides the Humvee going on? What I really wanted to ask was this. This is your second time here.
Yes.
And last time, I think it was kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, it was kind of like a quick thing, a quick notice thing where
yes.
It wasn't too advancedly prepared. This one I've been seeing signs, radio ads, newspaper spots, the whole works. So I'm anticipating a heck of a large crowd here.
Yes, we bought the show from a previous vendor or an exhibitor here, and so we didn't have much time to put it together at that time. This one we had 3 months. We were here in July. And so we've got plenty of time to prepare, get the signs out, and we're conscious of how hard it is to get to this location. You can see it from the freeway. You just can't get to it very easily with that exit.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people around here kind of know what it is. So if you're coming from Waco, it's not difficult at all. If you're coming from Belton, Temple, Salado, a little further south, or places east like Cameron or whatever, it's easy to get here. So come on out here. You're going to be open till when today?
5 o'clock today, 9 to 5 today, and 10 to 4 on Sunday.
Okay, very good. All right, Keith, anything else we got? And we're going to start the show here if you don't got anything else.
No, that's great. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're out here. I
appreciate you having us here. Thank you very much,
Thank
sir.
Thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get back here to the show. Let me tell you about what the show highlights are. Today's License to Carry segment will cover a law officer's authority to disarm a license to carry holder and displaying a handgun license on a peace officer's demand. So I'll be discussing that and giving some different scenarios as to how that would go. In our NRA segment, again, I'm going to read to you stories from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column, and as always, give you my commentary on those. And in the pep section today, I'm going to discuss the concealed carry badge and why I think it's a very good idea to have one now that open carry is legal in Texas. I've mentioned this before, and everybody's always asking me questions, and more questions come up because you're just like, wow, can you do that? Is it possible to do that? How do I get one? So on and so forth. I've got badges here. A lot of people are buying them already. So if you want to see one, they're all put together for your belt. It's got the badge in the back. So come on out and check it out. And we'll be talking about that on the show in just a little bit. Now, our topic of interest section will be from our sponsor, WRBSales.com. Now, my good friend Bill Banlaw, he's designed a new concealment holster called the Deep Cover Holster. It's another great product from WRBSales.com. So go check them out, WRBSales.com. And I'll be talking about that holster. It's really nice. What I like about these holsters is the simplicity of them and the effectiveness of them and the quality of how they're made. So we'll talk about that soon. In my product spotlight, I'll be talking about the M1 Garand in 308 cartridge, not 30-06, although it's almost the same thing. You can get one of those beauties from our other sponsor, and that's ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. So you want to give them a call at 254-983-4417. If you're coming from the east, you're going to be going right past Heidenhammer. Just take the exit, go in there, ANC Firearms, and be talking to him about your M1 Garand in 308, 30-06, or anything else that he may have there. Now, today, later on in the show, I want to talk to you about the common threads of an automatic pistol. Knowing the common threads enable you to pick up almost any auto pistol and be able to shoot it. You know, what good is knowing your gun if you don't know how other guns work? What if your gun goes down? What if you lost it, dropped it, it broke, it's not working, malfunctioned, but you pick up a gun that's there because of desperation, it's on the ground, you know, in one of those terrible scenarios, and you pick it up and you're like, how does this gun work? Well, we're going to talk about the common threads of automatic pistols. And as always, Cameron Police Chief Randy Dixon will be our voice of law enforcement, and he'll be on at around 11 o'clock. He'll be talking to you at the studio. He wasn't able to come out here to the show, but he'll be talking to us from the studio there. And that's about 11 o'clock, so he's got tons of information. Everybody loves the chief. He's got a plethora of information to share with everybody, so it'll be interesting to see what he's got to say today. Also, I'll be having on special guest, too, Sean McVicker, the master engraver. He's here at the gun show. He'll be coming up to the table here, and I'll be interviewing him and talking about the beautiful guns that he engraves. It's absolutely beautiful, all different price ranges. So if you've got something you were even thinking about getting engraved or you never thought about it before, bring whatever it is you have. Come on out to the show. Let them look at it, and they can go from cheap to expensive. So it all depends on what you want done on the gun. Also, I'm going to have David Tatum, the designer of the super strong 1911 Ambi Safety. And he's going to be here to talk with me and explain what makes it so good and why you might want to consider putting one on your firearm. And there's so much more happening on the show because we're a live remote here. You never know what's going to happen. I may see people walking across the table and just yank them over here and get them on the air. So you never know. I want to make a special footnote, though, before I get started. Out in Cameron, my hometown, Grace Church is having a special family fun festival today. And I want you to go check them out. They're on 808 West 16th Street in Cameron. They're going to have all sorts of games. They've got online auctions. They've got food. They've got things for kids. There's all sorts of things there. So if you're there local or after you come to the gun show and you want to go out there to Cameron, check out this thing. It's on the Grace Church has got 14 acres out there, and they're going to be using their big field. So it's just going to be a load of fun. A lot of things going on. It supports the church, obviously, and that's always a good thing. So if you want to have a good time and have fun with the family, go to the Grace Fun Family Festival, and it's going to be there on 808 West 16th Street in Cameron. And I'll mention that again later on the show, but it's going to be a lot of fun, so check it out. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to our license to carry segment. Now, as everybody knows, or if you don't know, I'm licensed with the state of Texas to teach license to carry classes. I've been doing it for quite a long time and have taught, oh gosh, I can't even think about how many people I've talked to or taught, and I've been doing it for now since about 15 years. So we've got a lot of things going on. We've got a lot of tricks of the trade to get you to learn more quicker, better, faster, and all that. But today we're going to talk about authority to disarm and displaying a handgun license on a peace officer's demand. Now, I'm asked all the time, if I have a license to carry can an officer still disarm me if I haven't done anything wrong? And the answer is a definite yes. Excuse me. Another question is, do I have to tell an officer that I have a gun on me, or am I licensed to carry, or I'm licensed to carry, or a combination of the both? Well, I'm going to answer that one too. I'm going to give you the factually correct answers, which can be, it goes a couple different ways, or I'm going to give you my way, which I'll explain shortly. Now, I'm going to read to you what it says about these two questions, and then I'll talk about it with you here to give you some ideas. Now, this is going to be from Section 2, General Information about the License to Carry Statute. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a license to carry, remember, you signed off an affidavit that you know and understand all the laws pertaining to license to carry. Now, it's going to be too late to study them when the situation arises. You want to make sure you know them now. So, but I'm going to review them with you now, and so you want to take some notes. I'm going to read it to you directly out of the book here. Authority to disarm. The statute allows a peace officer to disarm a license holder if the officer reasonably believes it is necessary for the protection of the officer, the license holder, or any other individual. It further provides that if the license holder is not arrested and the officer determines that the license holder is not a threat to any individual, the handgun shall be returned to the license holder. If the license holder is arrested, the officer shall seize the weapon and the license to carry. The license will be forwarded to the department, but the weapon will be kept by the arresting agency and treated as any other armed or any other seized weapon would be treated. Now, displaying a handgun license on a peace officer's demand. If a license holder is carrying a handgun and a peace officer or magistrate requests any type of identification, the license holder must show both the license holder's driver's license and the license to carry. It says here, this is the factual part, this requirement does not apply if the license holder is not carrying his handgun on or about the license holder's person. So now let's talk about this. In the authority to disarm, one of the key words here was that the officer has a reasonable belief that if he holds on to the firearm, even though you did nothing wrong and you got your license, and he's doing it for the protection of himself or somebody else, if he reasonably believes that is the necessary case, he can disarm you until the situation is over and then give you your weapon back. Now, I know some people don't like the thought of that. I didn't do anything wrong. Why does he have to take my gun? Well, sorry, that's what it says, and it's up to the officer if he wants to do it. So to minimize your time delay where you're at that situation, comply with respect to the officer's demand to hold your weapon for a while until the situation is over. That's just the way it is in the book. You signed it. You know the laws. You signed the affidavit saying that you understand that. Now, that's pretty cut and dry. But let's go to the displaying a handgun license on a peace officer's demand. I'm going to read it again, and then I'll talk about it. If a license holder is carrying his handgun and a peace officer or magistrate requests any type of identification, the license holder must show both the license holder's driver's license and the license to carry. This requirement does not apply if the license holder is not carrying his handgun on or about the license holder's person. That last sentence is what screws everybody up. Because what it's saying is, what the law is saying is, if you're a license to carry holder and you have your weapon on you, and an officer asks for any form of ID, the law states that you must show him both your driver's license and your license to carry if you have the weapon on you. But then the law says that requirement does not apply if you don't have the gun on you at this time. Now, can you see where the problems are going to arise? And here's why. When an officer pulls you over, he's calling up dispatch, calling in the plates, calling in your driver's license. And what's going to happen is, when they call in a dispatch, your driver's license number is connected to your license to carry number. And you're going to come up saying, showing that you have a license to carry. And the officer is going to find out and say, well, what the heck? Why didn't they tell me that they had a weapon on them? And you're going to come up to him and say, well, I'm sorry. In the last sentence of the paragraph 6 there, it says, if I don't have it on me, I don't have to tell you. Well, that causes a little bit of hardship between you and the officer. So here's Matt's way to solve this problem. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a license to carry and you're getting stopped by an officer and he's requesting some form of ID, whether you have the gun on you or not, Matt's opinion is, this is what Matt does, when the officer pulls him over, he goes, "Officer, hey, how's it going? Officer, I am licensed to carry. I do have the weapon on me at this time. It is located in whatever place it is located. My wallet's in my left rear pocket. What would you like me to do, sir?" And they pretty much say, "Okay, cool. Where's the gun? Just don't go near it." "Fine. Thank you very much. Take you know, me a ticket or he gives me a warning." Hopefully I'm nice enough. He just gives me a warning. Now, if I don't have the weapon on me, here's what I do. I get pulled over by the officer. Officer comes up. I've got the windows rolled down. I got the engine off. Keys on the dash. My hands are on the steering wheel. Officer comes up to the window. I go, "Officer, how you doing?" "Officer, I am licensed to carry. I do not have the weapon on me at this time. My wallet's in my left rear pocket. What would you like me to do, sir?" And the officer most of the times will appreciate you informing them. And they'll say, "You don't have the weapon on you?" I said, "No, sir." I said, "Okay, just sit tight. Let me do what I've got to do." So that simplifies, it reduces, and potentially eliminates any confusion when it comes to whether or not you got a license or what you're supposed to do or what you're not supposed to do. Once again, in my opinion, what I recommend you do is if you have a gun on you or not, and an officer requests any form of ID, the state says if you're a licensed carry holder and you have the gun on you, you got to show your license to carry as well. But to cover all bases, whether you have the gun on you or not, and the officer requests a form of ID, give him both your driver's license and your license to carry. Inform him if you have the gun on you or not, and that'll probably go a long ways for your situation, okay? At the Premier Gun Show, it's a dry bar. We're not serving alcohol. We're just showing. I provide services to those who are having parties, weddings, corporate events, so on and so forth. You get to see the layout, how it works, and how it would enhance your party. And come check it out, and I'll give you details. Or you can give me a call. Just go to the go to Aaron's highcapnightcaps.com, and that'll get you to the proper website. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go over our PEP section here, and we're going to go over the LTC badge. Now, the pros and the responsibilities when carrying a license to carry badge. I've had many people buy concealed carry badges from me once they understand its purpose. So I'm going to explain it to you now. At first, when it was only a concealed carry here in Texas and I saw someone actually showing the badge on their belt, I was like, "You're a wannabe, man. The whole purpose of a concealment license is to conceal the gun. The badge, the way it was worn, defeated that purpose." Now, with open carry, I have a totally different attitude on the subject, hence the reason why I promote them. Now, let me explain the concept, idea, and application of the concealed carry badge to those of us who are licensed to carry, and to those of you who are going to be getting one soon. Before I start, though, let me make this 100% clear. If for any reason you use this badge in a manner to impersonate a sworn officer, you deserve whatever the law brings down upon you. Do not be stupid. It's meant for one specific reason, and that is to enhance everybody's knowledge that you're one of the good guys, okay? But if you do something stupid and try to enforce something because you think you're going to be that wannabe cop, you're a fool and you deserve what you get. So listen up close and understand how these things are. They're just like firearms. Firearms are tools. We don't get stupid with a tool, right? We use it the way it's meant to be used. Okay, back to the concept, idea, and application. The concept is a badge equals good. Badge is shiny. Badge can be seen. The application is, let the officer see the badge at a distance to see you're licensed. Now, let me clarify. Back in the day, when it was just concealed carry, I'll go back to the individual or individuals I've seen who used to conceal their weapon, because the law was you had to have the weapon concealed. But they would have the badge on their belt, flash and say, "Hey, you know, I'm a license to carry." You can't see the gun, but you sure as heck can see that I got a badge showing that I am licensed to carry. Well, that kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? It was just silly. Now, a license to carry, open carry, this is how we can apply the concealed carry badge. And let me say this as well. I've talked to law officers, deputies, sheriffs, judges, many different people in the law enforcement field. And I asked them, what would you do, what would you think if there's a shoot and the guy's laying in the street and the license to carry person's there standing and you see this shiny badge flashing and you come up to the scene, aren't you going to hesitate and want to know, hey, what's going on? And the answer is yes. They go, when I see the badge, I'm going to definitely, you know, check it out, see what's going on. And they're going to watch on your response to the commands given, your body language and all these. So an experienced officer, one worth his medal, can see, obviously, you know, who's most likely a good person with looking at body language and all that. But let's go back to the badge. If I have a license to carry and I decide to conceal that day, I'm going to be wearing my license to carry badge on my belt, but my shirt is going to be covering everything. I'm not going to show anything. It's all going to be concealed. But God forbid, if I have to defend myself with a firearm and I use the weapon and it's done and the person's there laying on the street, we'll say, first thing I'm going to do is secure the weapon, put it back in my holster, and then I'm going to lift my shirt up over my badge. So when people start coming, they're going to see that badge and they're going to say, okay, what's going on here? You know, they're going to think before they just want to shoot me. All right. Now let's go to the open carry version of this. If I'm walking down the street and I've got my pistol on my hip, because remember the pistol has got to be either in a shoulder holster or a hip holster. And if I'm walking down the street and I got it on my hip and it's showing, I'm going to wear my badge right next to that gun. And I've done this many a times and I've tested it out both ways. When I go into a convenience store and I'm wearing an open carry firearm and I've got my badge right next to it, nobody bats an eyelash. Nobody freaks out. Nobody worries because badge is good. Okay? My demeanor, my body language shows I'm not a threat. I'm a good person. Okay? If I'm on a shoot, God forbid, once again, I put the gun back in the holster, the law comes up, they see the badge. Hopefully that will give me 1 or 2 seconds of them to analyze the situation before they just start firing. Now, I've gone into convenience stores before as a test without the badge and with a weapon on my hip out in the open, and I get looks. I get eyeball looks. Even though my demeanor is calm and my body language is good, people see the gun and they go, okay, what's the deal? So it's very favorable, in my opinion, and I promote it very much. And I've got YouTube videos on it. You can go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com, and go to the products page and see the video I put up there showing the badge and how to use it. And you can check that out. You can buy one online there. I've got some left here. They're going fast, though. If you want to come to the Premier Gun Show here in Temple at the Mayburn Center, I've got some on the table here. And you can pick yourself up. I got gold and silver. And there's actually a little rectangular spot at the bottom that you can put your actual license to carry number on there to personalize it. And in case you lose it, they can find it and give it back to you, okay? But the license to carry badge, I think it's a very good idea if it is used responsibly. And like I said before, if you do anything to simulate that you're trying to be an officer or whatever, you deserve every punishment you can get from the law. There's nothing restricting you from being able to wear this badge. There's no rules or regs against it. Only rule is you do not impersonate a sworn officer like that. So don't screw up. Don't do something stupid. But they are very beneficial, and I promote them highly. And you can come here to the Premier Gun Show in Temple at the Mayburn Center and pick yours up today. Okay. I'm going to move on now to our topic of interest section. And there it is. We're sponsored here today in the topic of interest section by WRB Sales for a couple reasons. One, he's got great products. Bill Banlow, the owner of WRB Sales, known him for many years, and he's got quality product after quality product, and I have many of them. I've designed a handful of them. He makes them. They come out great, and they sell very well because I've had practical application with them. I know they work. Well, he's come up with another one now, and this is pretty cool. I didn't even know he was doing this one. This one's called the Deep Cover. If you can see this here, I don't know if it was spotty on our live stream here, but this is it right here. WRB Sales. It's called a Deep Cover in the Pants Appendix Carry. And what's nice about it is, I told you this before and you've heard it on the commercials about the quality of the materials that they use. If you can see this on the video, which I don't know if you can, there it is. Look how thin that holster is. I mean, it's very thin. The materials that are used are high-grade material, and I guess because of the higher grade, they can get them thinner, and yet it keeps the stiffness that you need. It doesn't curl over, so when you go to try to put your weapon back in the holster. But basically, it's your appendix carry. You're going to put it on your strong side, and if you'll notice, we've got the two tabs here, so this is almost like a pretender holster. When it goes inside your pants, okay, when it goes inside your pants, these clips go onto your belt. And then if you have to tuck your shirt in, you put the shirt in between those two tabs and the rest of the holster, and you can't see it. So it's concealed, yet you have quick access to the gun just by lifting up your shirt, and there it is. It's got the pouch on the side for you to fit your handgun. And this particular one is for Smith & Wesson Autos, Glocks, H&Ks, Rugers, so on and so forth. It's just basically a triangular-shaped piece that will fit any one of those types of guns. But I'm very impressed with it due to the fact that it's thin. It's extremely thin. I hate holsters that double the thickness in my pants because one side of the holster is real thick. Then you got the gun, and then you got the other side of the holster that's just as thick. It just makes the gun too bulky to wear in my pants. So these holsters have taken up the slack in the sense that it minimizes the bulk. They're very effective and cost-effective. So what I want you to do is support this radio show by supporting our sponsors and going to wrbsales.com and check out the Deep Cover in the Pants Appendix Carry Holster. And I'm sure they'll have different models or different sizes for your different guns. And be sure to look at all the other products that they have. They got gun cases, other types of holsters, other types of concealment pouches, rifle bags, concealed rifle bags that make it look like, I don't know, tennis rackets and things of that nature to kind of subdue that you're carrying a rifle in a bag. But go to wrbsales.com, check them out, and I know for sure you're going to like the products there. I've got to check out the HARP holster, the Special Forces holster, the SOB bags, all different shapes and sizes, the Kel-Tec bags, ammo pouches for ARs, AKs, pistols, you name it, double mag pouches, single mag pouches, rug mats, the whole works. Lots of things, so I want you to go check them out, okay? All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take another quick break. Actually, we'll take another long break, and when we come back, we're going to be going over another sponsors section, the product spotlight, and I'm going to read to you a little bit about the Springfield M1 Garand and 308, which is really great because a lot of people out there have the M14 or the M1A, and it takes a 308, so it'd be a great way to get both different styles of rifles taking the same type of ammo, because all an M1A really is a glorified M1 Garand. But an M1 Garand, my gosh, it's just a beautiful rifle. It point shooter, it's incredible. Good gun, and I think you'll enjoy it a lot. So when we come back from break, we'll talk about that.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories, and whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. DABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's October 1st, 2016, and we're here live at the Mayborn Center in Temple at the Premier Gun Show. So I need you to come on out here, say hello to everybody. There's lots of guns, knives, accessories. Just check it out. Old and new things, and things that you can't find, like Keith was saying, at a normal box store. So come and check it out. Bring some things in for trade, for sale. Come over here to the booth, say hi to me. I've got the bar set up here. You can check it out. If you're having a private party or anything, you can see the facility and what we can do and bring to your party and make it a lot of fun. But in this section, what we're going to do, it's sponsored by ANC Firearms and Hide and Hammer. Arch Kuntz, the owner of ANC Firearms, is a very good friend of mine. I've known him for many years. And he's a great guy. Customer satisfaction is incredible. He's always willing to please, okay? And I'm going to be talking about the Springfield M1 Garand that you can get from Arch. And it's in 308, but if he doesn't have it there, he can always order it for you, get another one, or 30-06 or something else. Go check him out. He's got a lot of things to offer there. But I want to read to you by somebody I've been reading from for a long time. That's Mike Venturino, and he's on shootingtimes.com. And he wrote an article about the Springfield M1 Garand in 308. And I was going to read a little bit of the article so you have an idea how good this gun is so that you can go race out and get your own. I've got one, and it's just absolutely fantastic. Now, in the fall of 2002... This is the author speaking. I attended a seminar put on by Springfield Incorporated where I learned many new facts, two of which are of special interest to the M1 Garand fans. First, the 30-06 version of newly manufactured M1 Garands has been so well received that the Springfield company is going to continue it as a catalog item. Second, the M1 Garand variation in .308 Winchester caliber is now a reality. And during the seminar, I was able to fire a sample M1 .308 at steel targets, and I requested that the same rifle be sent to my home for more extensive shooting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got mine, and I've shot it, and man, do I love it. It's just great. Knowing I've got this common ammo, I mean, .30-06 you can find all over the place anyway, but I'm saying if you have all these different guns in .308, it's just nice to have a Garand. And if you haven't owned a Garand, you need to get one. This is just one of those things you got to have. Okay, back to the article. Except for the chambering of the new M1 Garands, they're dead ringers for the original military rifles. Barrel length is 24 inches, and the oil-finished walnut stock's length of pull is 13 inches. All metal parts are given a parkerized finish. The butt plate is checkered steel with a hinged door into which cleaning supplies can be stored. Sights on the M1 Garand are perhaps the best ever put on an issue battle rifle. The front is a simple post, 0.066-inch wide, protected by two steel wings on each side. The rear peep sight is fully adjustable for windage and elevation. Knurled rotating knobs are click adjustable in 1 minute of angle increments. The one on the right side changes windage, and the one on the left changes elevation. Clockwise movement on the windage knob moves slight to the right. Clockwise movement on the elevation knob moves the rear sight down. Now, an M1 Garand safety is also one of the simplest ever put on a rifle. It consists of a tab in the front of the trigger guard. When the tab is pushed rearwards into the trigger guard, the rifle is on safe. When it is pushed forwards out of the trigger guard, the rifle is ready to fire. Like most military rifles, the M1 Garand comes with a two-stage trigger. There's about a 1/8 inch of travel on the trigger before it begins its actual pull. The trigger scale measured up to 5.5 pounds. Very nice. All M1 Garands load by means of an N-block loader. Military ones hold 8 cartridges, and the same ones that work for 30-06 will also work for the new 308s. Now, shooting the 308 Winchester version of the M1 Garand was a pleasure. The gas operating system of the rifle tones down recoil considerably, and this 308 was a real pussycat. Through the firing of well over 150 rounds at my bench rents and group shooting and steel target plinking afterwards, there was nearly a hitch. I even tested the sights by moving the groups about on a large paper target, and the group centers follow the changes made in the sights perfectly. Now, for shooters who would like to combine interest in a finely made historical rifle with the popularity of the 308 Winchester cartridge, Springfield now offers that option, and you can get yours at ANC Firearms in Hide and Hammer. Give them a call, 254-983-4417. Ask for Arch, Clint, Dennis, Mike, one of the guys there. They'll be more than happy to square you away. If they don't have it there anymore, they can get you another one, or 30-06. They may even have a consignment one there. Lots of cool things, guns, ammo, rifles, pistols. So on your way here to the gun show, make sure you stop in there to ANC Firearms and see something that you may not have thought about before, or go out and check information on the 308 M1 Garand rifle. They're absolutely a dream to shoot. Okay, moving on as the time ticks away here, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk about our gun training demo and the common threads of the automatic pistol. I've been teaching for a very long time, not just license to carry, but military training, the whole works, and I can see a lot of people fumble with handguns. More people, I think, obviously in the military are more trained with rifles, unless you're officers or special MOSs and you're carrying a pistol. But even then, the training is not in-depth, unless you're in special ops and you get a lot of high-speed training. But what I've noticed is a lot of people fumble when it comes to pistols. So what I've done is I teach people the common threads of handguns so that it doesn't matter what you pick up. You pick it up, you operate it, and you shoot it, okay? So let me talk to you about a few things here. I've got a few minutes here to do that. First of all automatic pistols, I better not say all. Let's say 99.99999% of the pistols are magazine-loaded, okay, magazine-fed. They have a few different types of actions, and I'll mention those in a minute. And they have slide stops, and the way you put them into engagement is by pulling the slide to the rear and letting it go, or using the slide stop. So let me talk to you about the common threads here. The magazine, you load the magazine with cartridges, you stick it in the grip of the gun, you're going to rack the slide and it fires. That's basically the way they all work, okay? So that's pretty easy. It's the type of actions. The types of actions are what screws a lot of people up. The actions are like the trigger. When you pull the trigger, you have a long trigger pull, like on a little snub-nose revolver. It's got about an 8 to 12 pound trigger pull. It's a double action if it's got a hammer. If it doesn't have a hammer, it's called a double action only, but let's just talk about double actions. When you go to pull that trigger, it's a long trigger pull. So when you're seeing a gun on the table and it's got the style of a trigger that looks like a revolver, you're going to understand when I pick that gun up to pull the trigger, it's going to be an 8 to 12 pound trigger pull if it's a double action pistol. And once it fires and the slide cocks back the hammer, the trigger is going to set to about a 3 to 5 pound trigger. So if we understand that one aspect of all automatic pistols that have double action triggers, and we can remember that, when we go see a gun that has that type of trigger, we understand, hey, the first shot's going to be hard and heavy, the second one after that, and third one after that, and fourth after that are going to be easier, a 3.5 pound trigger pull. A single action would be more like on your 1911s. 1911s are fantastic guns. If you don't own one, get one. I always tell people when they buy one, they grew up when they bought a 1911. It's just a phenomenal pistol. It's been here for, what, over 100 years now, and it's still going strong. But that's a single action self-cocking weapon. Because what happens is when you put the magazine in and you load it, the hammer is immediately cocked. When you pull the trigger pull on is about 3.5 to 5 pounds with minimal movement on the trigger. So when you're looking at one of those guns on the table and you see a trigger that is totally contrary to a double action trigger, you can say, oh, that's a single action. That's going to be a very light trigger pull. And so I understand it. So when we're doing our competitions at the gun range at Aaron's Gun Shop, which will be the second Friday of the month, and all the guns are on the table, as you're coming to the next gun to shoot, you're already analyzing and saying, I've seen the trigger, I've kind of got a general idea of how it works, I know what kind of trigger pull it's got, and take understanding of the gun, you analyze it as well. The other common thread I want to talk about, and I'm going fast here because we're limited on time, is the slide stop. Every gun has some form of slide stop, whether it's external or internal. I'm just going to talk about the external slide stops right now. Every gun that has an external slide stop is going to be a little bit different because different manufacturer makes it a little bit different way. But it has the same concept. When the gun is empty and you reload it, the slide will be locked to the rear. You have one of two ways of releasing the slide. You can push down on the slide stop, or you can saddle the slide and just pull the slide. Now, here's where the common thread comes into play. What would you rather do? Pick up every gun and look for the slide stop and figure out where it is and figure out how to manipulate it so that the slide will go forward? Or do you just want to pick up every automatic pistol that is on the table with the slide locked to the rear, put it in your shooting hand, saddle the slide on the rear of the ejection port with your offhand, pull it to the rear and let it go on every gun? I don't have to spend or waste the time to look for a slide stop. I just grab the gun in my shooting hand, saddle the slide, pull it back on every gun. It works on absolutely every gun. And that primarily is what I wanted to address here. The actions are a little bit more complex to explain on the radio, but the slide, the most common thing you can do on the slide of clearing a malfunction, loading the weapon, just basically pulling the slide to the rear for observation check or reloading or whatever, is the saddling of the slide. That's the most common thread. You have the gun in your hand, shooting hand, slide's locked to the rear. Your offhand comes to the back part of the slide. You grab it firmly, and as you're pushing the lower part of the gun forward, you're pulling the rear the slide to the rear and letting it go. Just let it go. Do not ride it forward. You'll probably cause a malfunction that way. So you pull it back and let it snap forward. Because remember, everybody, every time you shoot that gun, there's a mini explosion happening. What happens to that slide by you pushing it or letting it go, nothing's going to happen, okay? So just get tough with it. If it breaks, the gun wasn't good anyway. Get yourself another gun. So those are the common threads. If you want to learn more of those, and we teach those in our classes, I've got a license to carry class on October 8th. That's Saturday at 2 o'clock. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Check out the website on the license to carry page. You can sign up there for the class if you'd like. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, or just go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com, and check out everything that we have to offer there. And don't forget to check out the products page. We've got our license to carry badges. You can get one there, or you can come to the show here, and I've got some left on the table that you can pick up for yourself. So anyway, with that, let's take a break. And I believe Trey, Chief should be in studio by now. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to let Chief talk and have Chief Dixon be the voice of law enforcement. So we'll see you on the other side.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you are having a great first day of October. A nice, cool fall morning outside. Good football weather. Good football game last night for the Cameron Yeoman. A tough fought game, but they prevailed. Today, I've got a fairly lengthy program that I'm going to try to talk about when someone loses basically their identity to other people and how it costs you in the long run. But before I do that, I want to mention just a couple things. If you haven't heard by now, there's supposed to be clowns running abound. Your kids may come home. You may hear your grandkids talking about there's clowns running around here, scaring people, kidnapping people. But folks, before any type of panic starts out, basically it's a ruse. There is a lot of people that are making threats. They may be posting things on the internet. If that's posted on the internet, it is illegal, especially if they make threats toward people, places, or things. But I do want you to understand one thing, folks. We have not arrested anybody who's been in a clown outfit. We've not had anybody who's been assaulted. We've had kids come up with these wild, horse-brained ideas about the clowns hiding in the woods, but that just has not happened, folks. I urge you to call me at the police department. If you feel like your children are coming home and telling you stories about it, because folks, all across the country, this has basically just been one big setup and one big story. This is trying to propagate a movie that's coming out. It's my understanding. The second thing I want to talk about today is real quickly. This coming Tuesday night, I invite everybody who's listening to this to come down to 605 West 4th, which is our new police station. Next door in the open field and in front, we're going to be having National Night Out. And for those of you that aren't aware of what that is, that's one night a year that everybody comes together to celebrate being safe and taking care of themselves. This year's sponsors, Winnie L. Nursing Center and Standards Home Health Care, will be providing hot dogs. We'll have drinks. They'll be having cotton candy. There'll be a car show from the Cameron Car Club. So come on out. Pick up a lot of free ideas about safety, about how to take care of your neighborhoods, and just enjoy the time out. Enjoy the time visiting with your neighbors, and meet some police officers, talk to some police officers, and see kind of what it's all about, taking care of yourself. Now, the main gist of today's program, folks, is something that has really kind of hit home here recently. I don't know how many of you have ever been a victim of identity theft, but there's been a lot of people here in Cameron that have. A lot of people all across Central Texas have been victims. You know, recently many of our citizens in this area have been the victim of identity theft. You know, and this is one of the most frustrating crimes of all, in that it attacks those of us unknowingly and has become a multi-billion dollar white-collar crime that has far, far-reaching effects on your financial security and on other people's financial security. You know, the fact that the economy has become stable or unstable over the years, depending on the viewpoints. I know for me, 10 years ago, I think I was better off than I am now. The identity and the internet crime business has become more lucrative, and it requires much less physical danger to be a criminal than having to go out and try to burglarize a home. Oh, I guess it was about 10 years ago, my family was the victim of this form of criminal behavior. A member of my family had her Social Security card, her credit card, and her driver's license compromised from where she worked. And over a course of about 2 weeks, $60,000 of fraudulent charges were made against various entities. As a matter of fact, our credits purchased about $50,000 worth of electronic devices from QVC. And QVC and I have never had anything delivered to my house. All this happened basically within a four-day period. That's how quick it can happen. The problem is, due to the vast geographic range of where these things are purchased, it's very hard to prosecute and investigate these crimes. The federal government, who is basically in charge of all wire transfer thefts and fraud, usually won't touch it unless there's $100,000 worth of damage done to someone. You know, and I don't know about you, but if somebody steals $10,000 or $5,000 of my money, I'm in trouble. So, you know, when you have to wait to $100,000 to have something investigated by the feds, then we have an issue, and it's probably not going to happen. You know, the charges that were deducted in a criminal investigation began. It can wreck your financial freedom. It can wreck your financial security. Unfortunately, what we had to do is it required a credit alert being placed on all of our credit cards owned. The credit card reporting companies had to actually be contacted each and every time we wanted to use our credit card. Now, if you think that's inconvenient, it is inconvenient. You go to the store, you want to buy something. Maybe it's nothing that's very large. Maybe it's something that costs $40 or $50, and they have to verify through a credit reporting agency that your card is good. It literally havocs one's financial plans and everyday activities for years to come, folks. The key to not becoming a victim is careful planning of how one deals with their finances and information on a daily basis. And I don't want to seem too elementary here, but secrecy for you is a must. Almost all of us on a daily basis peruse the internet. I don't know what we did before the internet, but now, well, I do know we used to be families out and about and visiting with our friends and kinfolks. But the internet has basically taken over now. Technology has made our lives much more simpler, true, but it's also complicated our personal security issues. The one thing I'll tell you, folks, is you use common sense when dealing with the internet. If you use your credit card to purchase anything, make sure your purchases comes from a secure site. How do you know that? When you pay something on the line, look at the URL bar that's at the top of your page on your computer. If the word HTTP is there where you pay, it is not a secure site. It is not a secure site. Look for the lead-in, the URL, HTTPS. That one little letter, the S for such as Sam, that protects you, that puts your account into a secure site location. Folks, like I said, prosecution of identity theft is almost null and void. The locations may encompass thousands of miles from the perpetrator to the crime. You know, there are also other forms of identity theft, which may come from a letter you receive or an email which declares you have won $10 million. Just send me shipping and handling charges. Folks, I'm going to give you one little piece of advice. You never get nothing for nothing. If you're going to buy, you know, nobody's going to give you $10 million out of the goodness of their heart. When you get these letters in the mail, or if you get some scam in the mail, do me the one big favor that we encourage all people to do. Find your shredder and shred it. Don't call the numbers. Don't try to get the numbers. It's also like when somebody calls you from the IRS. The IRS is not going to call you. Me and the IRS have a personal relationship, believe it or not, in the fact that I've received a number of letters from them over the years. And when you receive a letter from the IRS, then it is valid, but it is not valid on a phone. So when you have a foreign-sounding individual call you saying they're the IRS, you can call us if you want to report it, but the best thing to do is just hang up. Don't give them a chance to even talk to you. You know, you're not going to get rich quick for nothing, folks. You know, and we all hear about that. We hear people that, you know, they've won this, they've won that. But just trust me, folks, it isn't going to happen. But what I would like to do is let me give you a few reminders and tips on how to not get scammed or be the victim of identity theft. And, you know, I've talked about identity theft on here before, but the real reason I talk about it now is because so many people leading into the holiday season becomes victims of identity theft. Your personal information, your social security number, your driver's license number, protect that like it was gold. Let me give you a few simple suggestions on how to protect yourself. Number one, don't carry all your credit cards, social security cards, your birth certificates or passport, your purse or wallet with you. If you need something, take copies of them, make copies of them, but don't take everything you own in one basket. If you lose it, if you lose your wallet, if you lose your purse, then it's all gone. By simply not doing this, it minimizes the amount of information a thief can steal from you. Photocopy everything in your wallet, and then if you know where it's at, or if your wallet becomes stolen, you know the numbers to call and who to call. Don't click on links in any emails you receive from financial institutions, even if you're 100% sure they're legitimate. I received one here recently from a USAA saying that my credit card has been compromised and I need to call them immediately. Folks, I've never had a USAA account. I don't know how to get a USAA account. Things such as that, you get them in the emails, you talked about maybe someone who does have an account with you. They want you to update your personal information. Call them on the phone. Don't do it off the internet. Most of these are phishing accounts, and it's called phishing, phishing, where they try to get information that you simply give them because you think they're the right people. Also, make sure that your computer is set to automatically download and place into be new fixes and new patches. You know, whether it's Discover, MasterCard, or Visa, or even your banks, they update their financials and their security plan and how they handle their security on a regular basis, as a matter of fact. If your computer has the ability to download these things, it makes it much safer for you. You know, any operating system on any computer has security holes in it. There's not a single one that doesn't. But minimizing the fact that you know how to handle that computer and you know what to do and what not to do on your computer reduces that. You know, Microsoft Windows and Mac both have easy methods for updating your files and your security plan on it. Also, install virus and spyware detection software and keep them updated. There's a lot of good free ones out there. There's, of course, you can always go to the old trusted ones that you purchase, but keep some kind of a virus scan, some type of spyware. Also, and here's something people don't think about. How many of you have in the mail received a free or you've been pre-approved for a credit card? Everybody gets those. Everybody does. And unfortunately, a lot of people just take those and throw them in the trash, don't even read them, and then it goes out with the morning trash or the afternoon trash. Folks, that's got your personal information on it. A lot of those do. A lot of them have your address. They have part of your social security number on them. Shred them, tear them up, burn them, whatever you want to do, but don't throw them away intact. Take your credit card receipts when you go to the store, too, or go to a restaurant. One of the things that many people do, and I've noticed this more and more, is when they go to buy something or they go to a restaurant or even to a fast food drive-through, they'll use their bank card or their credit card to pay for something. They get the receipt, they put the receipt in the bag, throw the bag away, and they're gone. Look at your receipt. Make sure nothing has been charged against it that's not supposed to be charged against it. One of the other things that I suggest you do is, not many people do this anymore, but there are many people who still write hard checks to pay bills. A lot of people now are using the automatic deduction method, but a lot of people are using checks to still pay their bills. If you have checks delivered to your house, say you have to order 500 checks, have them ordered or delivered to a safe place, not just left in your mailbox. Once again, identity theft, people come by and steal them, people check your mailboxes, even though it's a crime, that still happens. Also, make sure you look at your statement on your credit card and your checkbooks on a normal basis. Look at them, go over them. Make sure that they all jive with the same thing that you plan to do. One of the things that's very hard for a lot of people to do is to know exactly how many credit cards you have. Here's a little suggestion. Either photograph your credit cards with your number on how to cancel that credit card, or make Xerox copies of them. Never give any bank, credit card, or Social Security information to anyone over the phone. I don't care who they are. Don't give them your full information over the phone. Even if you think they're legitimate, make it where you can call them and verify what they're doing. Also, you know, and is this something that not many people think about, folks? How many of you have credit cards that you just leave the receipts laying around? Get those receipts, take them up, get rid of them, throw them away, burn them, whatever you may do. But above all, don't leave information that's going to help violate your security around. You know, keep a list of all your credit accounts, bank accounts, in a secure place. Photograph them, keep a list of them, and do all those things that you're going to do to protect yourself. Folks, I have been through an identity theft situation. One of my officers just last week had a identity theft charged against his debit card, of all things, out of the Houston area. He actually, at the time, was in Dallas with his folks, and then it came back here. Now, one other thing I'll suggest to you is, if you want to prevent identity theft, be on top of your game, know what you're doing, plan what you're doing, and think that everybody out there has access to your bank account. If you think that, you're going to protect that. So folks, I know I've covered a lot of things here recently with you today. We've hurried. We've got about 30 seconds left, but I just want to mention one last thing, please. Take care of your families. You know, there's a lot of things that have happened across this country where a lot of people have been hurt and injured. Take care of your families. Buckle them up. Don't drive when you've been drinking. And above all, tell your family that you care for them every day, because tomorrow's never promised. Have a good week, everybody, and I will see you this next week on the radio, and take care.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories, and whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast.
not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is October 1st, 2016, and we're here live at the Premier Gun Show at the Mayburn Center in Temple. I really hope you come on out here, say hi to everybody. Lots of guns, ammo, all sorts of things you can think of here. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm very honored to have a special guest on here, Sean McVicker, Master Engraver. I've had him on the show before, and we're streaming live. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the radio show page or Facebook, and we'll be streaming live there. You get to see some of the work that Sean McVicker is going to be doing. We're going to talk to him, showing him some guns, and explaining what we can do for you. So come on out. He's here at the gun show. He's got his booth set up, but right now I'm fortunate enough to be able to speak with him. So, Sean, I want to welcome you again back to the program. It's always a pleasure, sir, to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you, Matt. Thank you very much. Thank you. Doing fine. I just had a monitor put in. So I'm still around.
You're still around. I hope you're around for a long time, long time. Now, Sean, we were talking off air. You do all sorts of things. You're a great singer, too. I've listened to your music, and it's just fantastic. I mean, I was listening to this. I'm going, oh, my gosh, is that Sean? Sure as heck is. Beautiful voice. I'm very impressed. So, ladies and gentlemen, come on out. Introduce yourself to Sean. Come here and say hi to us here at the booth, and we'll just have a lot of fun, okay? But, Sean, I got you on air here because I wanted to tell everybody about your fantastic ability to engrave guns, and I've got some here that you've done for me and for other people, and I want to talk about it. But first, let's just tell everybody who may not have listened or heard before how long you've been doing this and what makes a master engraver, and how hard is it to become one, how long you've been doing it.
That's sort of different parts of the world, but usually in Europe. I come from Ireland. And in Ireland, all apprentices are indentured and sponsored by the government. And you do 5 years for everything, printing, plumbing, electricity, even a barman and you say a barman 5 years. Well, the thing is, he's not just trained to be a barman. He's trained to be food and beverage manager. He's trained for everything in hotel work over that period of 5 years. And he has 3 exams a year to pass.
Wow.
In order to be a master, back in my day in 1951, when I turned 14, that was the lowest age you could leave school to become an apprentice.
And what year was that?
1951.
Just gave away your age, right?
Yeah. I'm proud of my age. I've seen things that I wouldn't see today.
Yeah, you've got a long history. I know we talked about that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking at our live stream, you get to see here Sean here. Great guy, does a lot of great stuff. So keep going. Tell us about how in-depth it is and how you are like a few left that do this type of engraving?
Yeah. When I came to America here and I got registered with the guild in America for engraving, they told me that on the average, there's about 320 master engravers in all America. And that's something of a shame because children are not interested anymore in serving apprenticeships. You can take a short course, but of course that doesn't make you a master. You have to be there for a long, long time and experienced. And you have to take art courses, quite a lot of other related things in metal.
Now, I've brought to you guns that were trash, pitted, rust and all that kind of stuff. You made them beautiful. I've brought you brand new guns that were just, you know, pretty guns, basic designs, and you turn them into masterpieces. Okay. What could somebody do or give an idea of somebody who's either on a budget or not on a budget? Give us an idea of what you can do as an engraver to someone's gun. And I'll start showing guns here in a minute for the live stream. Go to aaronsgunshop.com and check it out on the Facebook page or the radio show page. You can see some of these guns. But what would it take if somebody wanted to come in? Do you have levels of engraving when it comes to pricing?
Yes. I served an apprenticeship on transfer basis in Europe from Brownings to quite a few places. And the way that it works, all the factories like Winchester and Henry, and they base engraving on the levels in the alphabet, of course, like A, B, C, D, and E. And A, you might have a monogram or a name. B progresses to a name plus a little bit of artwork or graphical work. And you progress up the scale till the whole gun is completely covered, and that's a 5 or a G. After that, you go into gold inlay. And then you can even go further than that. Some ladies like to have stones.
Oh, wow. I never
cut into their gun. And I was lecturing at the Gene Autry Museum in Los Angeles, and Mrs. Autry's gun is on show. And I estimated the gun, I'd done an assessment for them, of about $200,000.
My gosh.
And there was stones, jewels, in her gun.
How do you keep them in there?
Well, that's the trick. That's one of the things you got to learn.
That's one of those guns they don't shoot then, right? I mean, if you got a $200,000 gun with gemstones in it, you don't shoot it, I take it?
No. But it can be shot. It can be shot.
How does one keep the gold inlaid? It's just like you keep engrave a spot, put the gold in, and cover it back over. How do you do that?
That's what makes the master, done properly. It can never come out again. And it's done on a 5-stage. You cut once, it creates a valley of a V. All those little scroll work, all the wires. You cut it to V, you progress and make it a square, all the cutting, the shape of it. Then you go back and you do in cutting so that, and you anneal the gold, you soften it, and it has to be 24 karat, almost pure. You beat the gold wire into the cutting. And as you beat it in, it's soft enough to go down into the key cuts at the bottom, and it makes it undercut. Then you square off the top and polish it. And, of course, you can progress to horses, animals, all sorts of things like that.
So I can see why it wouldn't come out, because it's not like it's being fitted in. It's being pounded in and molded into the grooves. That's great. I never knew that. That's pretty interesting. I always thought, when's it going to start flaking out or peeling out? Now, let me show you something here, ladies and gentlemen. If you're checking out the live feed, I've got a couple of guns here. Would you mind giving me that one right there, too, please? Thank you. Now, we've got a couple of 1911s here, and this particular one is a Colt 1911 new agent, no sights on it, and this is one of my carry guns, and it's a beautiful gun by itself. However, knowing what Sean here can do, I came up with a concept idea, drew it on a piece of paper, talked to Sean about it. He knew where I was going, what direction. He asked me for a couple things that I might have special interest to put on it. And he did that as well. But if you're looking here, Sean, is there anything you can tell me about that? We're looking at the Gadsden Snake on top, too, and you utilize that channel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that I brought out, along with a few others we started. Instead of stripping the gun, polishing all the pores, and then starting to cut, well, obviously, afterwards, when I'm finished, it has to be blued or chrome finished, or whatever you think, whatever you want. But in the case of Matt's gun, I left the finish on it, and I cut through to the white silver steel, and it comes out beautiful. It
Absolutely.
Shines like a diamond.
Oh, my gosh. How many people wanted to buy my gun when you had the showcase?
That's true.
I was
That's
like, no, it's already owned by somebody. You can't have it. No way. Nobody has a gun like this. And you give certificates of authenticity that they won't be replicated, right?
All my work has to be original.
Okay, now, we've got this one here. This is a full-size 1911. And they wanted to match up the grips that they have on the gun that's got the inlay on it to match with the gun with some other special features. And this is another gun that Sean has done here. Just beautiful work. And you can get all these. Hey, Sean, can you show on a particular gun here what might cost so much if they just wanted a couple things done? Or is that too difficult to state?
No. You could. I would say, for what I know, that the most popular gun in the United States is a 1911 or a 1911 shape. It would probably take me about 40 hours. Like I said before, you can just put your name on it. A name on it would probably cost you about $50, $75. And you progress from there. The more work you do by the hour, the more money it will cost you.
But that, I mean, just to have your gun engraved with your initials or your name, that's just pretty cool to begin with. You know, because people are thinking, oh, it's going to cost me forever. How long does it usually take? You said 40 hours for a full gun?
For a 1911, on an average, about 40, 50 hours.
Okay, so now if somebody was to come here to the gun show, what would you tell them, what should we tell them to do over the radio here? To bring the gun, to have an idea, what would be some good things they should tell you to give you an idea of what they want on their gun? Any specific pictures they should bring, concept ideas, you know?
Yes, if you have a basic format in your mind, I would say that about 45% of the guns that I do are being left as legacies in the family. I always suggest that the grandfather, if it's him, to put his name on it. And the little girl or the little boy, after Grandpa has gone, they can look and see that's his name and that's his gun. And I try to make a point of asking the person to write their signature, and I will copy it and put it on the gun. So maybe 100 years from now, the family can look at it down the generations and say, that's my great-great-grandfather's signature.
You know what they would say about me? They say, I did not know your grandfather was a chicken. Because I got chicken scratch for a signature.
It doesn't matter.
But you do absolutely beautiful work. Sean, how can people get in contact with you outside of the gun show here? I know we've got a link on my radio page. It's got the Stories in Steel. I've got business cards on my booth table here. If you come by, you can go to Sean's booth as well. But you can go to storiesinsteel.com. Go to storiesinsteel.com. He's got a beautiful wife, Bonnie. Can I give out the number?
Oh, sure.
The number is 254-289-5961. That'll get a hold of Bonnie. Give a call at 254-289-5961 or go to storiesinsteel.com. Great story write-ups about Sean and his history and what he does with the guns. They've got pictures of guns on there. Or best bet, if you're around the area here, come on out here to the Premier Gun Show at the Mayburn Center in Temple. Get to meet Sean in person. Look at all the beautiful work that he's done. He's got the showcases full of guns, different types, different styles, and you will be impressed totally. You'll want to drop your gun off today. So, Sean, we're running out of time. Any final words you want to say?
No, I just want to thank you. Thank you very much indeed. And anybody out there that wants to come and meet me or talk to me, you're more than welcome. And in the meantime, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
Amen, brother. Okay, Sean, thanks a lot. Dre, here's what we're going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a special interview. It's a pre-recorded interview with Dr. Neil Trent. We were talking about possibilities versus probability. Very interesting conversation. And we're going to play that right now if Dre is ready. And don't forget, come on out here to the Premier Gun Show at the Mayburn Center in Temple. And get to meet Sean, get to meet us here. A lot of guns, ammo, knives, accessories, all sorts of things. So go on and check it out. And check out Dr. Neil Trent here. He's got a lot of good stuff to say.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, welcome to the show. Say hello to everybody out there. I appreciate you coming on the show with us.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Matt. It's a real honor. And in particular, as I told you before, I'm really a big fan of what you do and how you do it. In particular, I think you have more psychological savvy than most shrinks.
Oh, man. If you talk to a lot of my friends, they may not think that, but go ahead.
Well, they don't think I do either. I'm referred to as a blue-collar shrink, but I'm retired, so it's okay.
Okay. Now, when we were talking, it was almost like an instantaneous connection.
Yeah, I felt the same thing.
And you wrote this article here, and we're going to go over a lot of this, stuff in the article. But I sent you an email that basically said, "There's a lot of scientific words in here." I'm the kind of guy, and I've come to realize a lot of my students just want to know brass tacks.
Right.
I get all these technical state terms and legalese, and I read it to them fast, and I go, "Here's what it really means." And they go, "Oh, I get it." So that's what we're going to do today, right?
Right. Well, I'm down with that. That's the way I am too.
You've been listening to the show, and you heard I was going over body language and ego states, and I did that purposely today to set us up because those are different aspects of what we're going to be talking about, which is going to give us the edge. So, Dr. Trent, I want you to tell us, why don't you just take the floor, because we're both of like mind, and start explaining as to why probability is absolutely imperative to understand, learn, and know, as well as possibilities and all the other aspects of it to being safe and trying to get out of a situation.
Right. Well, there's a lot of sources of data, and you cover them very well. The problem seems to be that we have, and this is drilled into us at all levels, we have situational awareness, but it doesn't necessarily mean we have situational understanding. And where probabilities come in is, I like templates because they're convenient. They always work, except for when they don't, so
that's right.
Get another template, you know. But anything is possible. The thing is, how probable is it? Now, it's real tricky when you're in a confrontational or adversarial situation. Adrenaline kicks in. It compromises lots of things. Your mind is going 1,000 miles a minute, and you have to find a way to slow it down a little bit. So, and templates are good for that, too. So that you're able to really assess the probability of what's likely to happen next. And that's the reason why I really like the OODA loop, because it's not full. It's probably misunderstood by a lot of people because it doesn't really work the way it's laid out.
I read that in your article, and I want you to explain to everybody what that stands for and what it means.
Right, okay. The OODA loop was developed, and gosh, I can't remember when, but it's a lot of years ago, by an old retired Air Force colonel fighter pilot. And if I'm right, I think John Boyd was at the end of World War II, through the Korean War, and probably into Vietnam. So he's one of those crusty old guys that you kind of look to for wisdom. So he set it up like this. There are four major components in the loop. First is observation. Okay, that's big, and we can go into that in more detail if you want to. Segmentation, and that's where you're figuring things out and putting things together. Now, in reality, the way I see it, observation, orientation, they're one big thing together because it's a constant process. So I call it observation and orientation. Now, the third component, according to Boyd, is decision, and that's where you come up with a plan, you know, and hopefully that plan will do a couple of things for you because it's your conclusion. Your time is out. You might have all the time in the world. That's a good thing. More often than not, you don't, but whichever way, time is out. So you want a plan.
Oh, just getting feedback in the mic. I put on the recorded interview because one of my special guests was just a little delayed getting here. We've got him here now. David Tatum, I mentioned to you earlier in the show that he's designed a very hard to use, not hard to use, very durable 1911 ambidextrous safety. And I've got him on here to explain that because it's a very important part on a 1911, especially if you're a left-handed shooter, you'd want an ambidextrous safety, but a lot of pro shooters like to have them as well. And sometimes the designs are a little flawed. Well, David here has solved that problem. So let me bring on to the High Cap Adventure program here, David Tatum. David, glad we can finally get together here. How are you doing?
I'm great, Matt. Thanks for having me back on. Mm-hmm. I love being out here talking to you and whatever we can come up with.
Well, we're going to talk about one specific item here, and that's your safety. Do you have a special name for that safety?
I do. We call it the Rock Lock, just because it's rock solid.
Rock solid, okay.
Yeah. We designed this a couple of years ago, got the patent work finished on it, bring it out into market.
And this is specifically for 1911s?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Give me the concept idea, why you thought about it, what it's good for, who can get it, how do you get it done, so on and so forth.
Okay, well, the original idea came from years ago. I started shooting a little competitive IPSC type stuff, and in a lot of that, you do a lot of hand changing and stuff, and I always wanted an ambi safety, as a lot of people do. When I started building my own 1911, the more I messed with them, the more there wasn't an ambi constant. And even more especially, a lot of competitive shooters like to shoot with their thumb resting on top of that thumb pad. And when you do that, it puts a lot of extra pressure on there, especially on the ambi safety. If you're left-handed, even more so.
Can you explain as to how the standard ambidextrous safeties are designed and how they fit in the gun and how they connect together so that people can get a mental visual of what you're doing here?
Sure. If anybody is familiar with 1911 internals, then you'll understand this quick. If not, I'll try to make it as easy to understand as possible. The pin that it pivots on in the back, in a standard safety, is a one-piece pin goes all the way across, and all it does is float. On an ambi safety, they split that pin, and like a screwdriver in a slot is how they tie one side to the other, and so it makes your safety into a driver, not just a pivot, but a driver. And it's a very small piece of material in there, and so you're going to end up getting metal fatigue in there, and you're going to get sloppy, and very often it'll break. What we did different on ours is we moved forward a little bit in pretty much the one and only vacancy, the only void in a 1911, is where the Siren gate is. And what we did is we extended that all the way across and shoot through the receiver at the sear boss point. Well, now what you have is you have two points that lock that safety together. And so that primary pin goes back to doing what it's supposed to do, and that is it's just a pivot pin. It just floats. All of your pressure is now moved forward onto that secondary pin that we designed and put in there, and takes all the pressure and all the metal fatigue out of that primary pin.
Okay, now I'm a very simple person, okay? But because I know 1911s, I understand exactly what you said. So let me reiterate, you tell me if I go off base at all, for somebody who's not too familiar with how the parts work. If they know what a 1911 is and they've got the safety on the left and the right, that's called an ambidextrous safety, and normally there's just one pin going all the way across.
Exactly.
And that's doing all the work.
Sure.
Now what you got is another one that's parallel to that basically in the front. And so you're going to have two rods connecting both sides of your safeties together. And doesn't it have like an Allen screw or something to hold it all together?
Correct. On that secondary pin where we ran through, we on our side plate, we match that inside there. On the inside and on the outside, we add an Allen screw. And so you kind of sandwich that side plate between there so you don't have any lateral movement either. And one small hole in the receiver and an Allen screw, and you're gold.
Explain about the hole in the receiver. What does it take to get that done? Who can do that? Where can they go?
It's a very, very simple procedure. When you buy the safety, there's instructions included. If you're gun savvy, you can probably do it yourself. If not, then I definitely recommend you get a good gunsmith to do it. But any good gunsmith can. It's very simple. We have measurements included, or you can, you know, if you have a CNC machine, whatever, you can indicate it that way. But basically, you're going to make a hole on the ejection port side of the receiver in the same location as the hole that's on the original side where the safety engages, so that that safety just runs all the way through. And that's where that secondary pin goes through, and that's what gives you all the strength and rigidity of our safety.
Okay, now, do you have any type of videos online that show this part?
I haven't. I've been needing to do that for a while. I've got a friend that's even offered to do it for me. I've just been so busy, I haven't. But we're going to be putting a video out, and I'll put that on my website. We'll put it on YouTube. We'll put it up, you know, on my Instagram page. So very soon we'll be having a video, or several videos probably, where we show basic installation and the parts you have to adapt, and then also the difference in strength, rigidity, stuff like that. So very soon we'll be having some videos out.
Okay, well, you just brought up something that we need to get out of the way real quick to make sure that we don't forget to do it. How can people make contact with you for information, to getting a part, whatever the process is to get this done?
Probably the easiest way to do it is my website. It's www.tatumtactical.com, or we're on Instagram under Tatum Tactical as well. And either one of those will get you directly to me.
I wanted to ask you a question. I forgot to ask you this last
time.
I know some ambidextrous safeties, not the ones that are like yours, but some of them, they vary. There's like a piece of metal that kind of guides the offside safety along the frame of the gun for stability. And then there's some that don't have that, or they have a little pin that sticks out and it hooks on there. But you have to sometimes modify the grip.
Correct.
Is that necessary for you to
No.
do that with your part?
No, there are several different designs of ambies out there. One, you have to have a special hammer pin that fits into a dovetail on the safety. The other you're talking about, one of the others has a special sear pin that guides it. And the third is one that has kind of a little ear, a little wing that sticks out under the grip. So you have to modify the grip for that to function properly. Now, the difference is those... all three of those designs, those pieces are necessary just to keep that side of the safety from falling off the gun. Okay? If you don't have any one of those pieces on those other designs, the safety on your ejection port side can just fall off the gun.
Right.
Ours is a completely self-contained unit. You don't have to modify hammer pins or sear pins or grips or anything. When you put our safety in, it's there.
And this could be used for just the self-defense shooter, but
yes.
What would be highly recommended is if you've got a competitive shooter who's doing it a lot, this is one of these parts that's, you know, it's almost like it's going to become standard in the industry, as you have no room for failure. And even with a self-defense shooter, you got no room for failure. So if you go to study this part, understand this part, and you've got a 1911, it's a great enhancement to the gun. Now, you didn't have this when you were shooting, and did you have malfunctions when you were shooting in the sense of a material breakdown on the safeties?
I did. I had, every time you use one very much, left-handed-wise especially, you get a lot of slop and wobble in that safety, and it gets real spongy, and sometimes hard to tell when you're actually engaged and when you're not. I didn't have any breakage, but I put one in for a guy here a while back that is a competitive shooter, and he is left-handed. He broke 5 safeties in 1 pistol before he put my safety in.
Well, I know that 1911 is my gun. I mean, I'm raised with that thing. I sleep with that thing. I mean, I know it pretty much inside and out. And I know when you go to put those ambidextrous safeties in, it's always difficult. And here's the other thing, too. A lot of these ambidextrous safeties that you buy are mass-produced, mm-hmm. and sometimes you got to do some fitting.
Yes.
And it doesn't work all the time just right. You got to get that little file out there. But on this piece that you've got, it's precise, and since it is self-contained, you're not going to have any of those issues. It's going to be rock solid. It's not going to fall apart on you when you're desperate for it. And it's just a good part to have on your gun if that's something you're looking forward to. And the other thing I liked about it is you just said you don't have to modify your grip.
Correct.
That's one of the things when I'm looking at an ambidextrous safety is, oh, no. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you'll see some of these 1911 grips. What would that be on the ejection port side?
Correct.
If you look at the inside or the back side of the grip on the ejection port side, if you're buying them, sometimes you'll see these grooves cut into them to accept if you have an ambidextrous safety. Or if you've got grips on your gun and you put that ambidextrous safety on that's got that extra piece, you've got to actually carve it out, and it's just a pain in the neck. So with David's part here, that's not necessary. That's another nice benefit. What does something like that run, David?
Well, first of all, these don't compare to a lot of other safeties. A lot of other safeties in manufacturing, they're called what's called MIM parts, or metal injection molded. They're a cast piece, and I'm not knocking anybody else's product, but because of the process, they're not a real dense material.
Right.
Okay, and so that's part of the breakage problem as well. Our safeties they're made out of cold rolled bar stock stainless steel, and they're very dense, very consistent, and they're CNC machined to very close tolerances. So it's not really
comparable. So you're not molding it, you're cutting it.
We're machining this thing with stainless steel. So when you compare it to other safeties made in similar processes, it's right in that price range. They retail for about $150. Again, that's higher than your standard cast.
Yeah, but
it's not a comparable part.
I got to back you up on that, because you can get these other parts that we're talking about anywhere from, what, $35 to $75?
Sure.
Okay? And your price was, what, about $150, you're saying?
$150 retail.
That'll be the last one you buy.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you can go the long way, or you can go the one-time way. That's a good way to go. It's always going to be there on the gun. Hey, go ahead.
Well, exactly what you're saying. The guy I was talking about, the shooter that put five safeties in one gun, even if you go the cheapest route and say that he bought them for $30 a piece, I mean, you can't buy one cheaper than that. The cheapest of the cheap is $30. Well, by the time you put five of them in a gun, you're at $150.
See, but that doesn't even faze me. What fazes me is they broke five times. So here,
right,
I am in a critical scenario, and I get break. I know I cannot have breakage.
Well, see, that's the thing. The last time his broke was at the Nationals.
There you go.
He was shooting at the Nationals as ambi safety breaks. I mean, what do you do there? It's not a 5-minute repair.
And there's no way to get around that either, is there?
Exactly. Just knocked him out of shooting. It knocked him completely out of competition.
Now, just put that in a real-life scenario on the street, ladies and gentlemen. You're pulling that 1911 out of your holster, and you're going to take the safety off, and snap, something happens, and you're dead in the water. What are you going to do? Now you got a paperweight, right?
Well, that was my biggest concern when I designed this thing was, yeah, it'd be great to have this for competition, because, that's people make a living doing that and all kinds of stuff, and that's wonderful. But what if you actually depend on this thing for your life? What if you're a soldier in combat? What if you're a civilian and you find yourself in a life-threatening situation? What if you're defending yourself or your home or your family? That's not a good time to have a failure.
That's right.
Because to me, the individual use, the personal use, is a lot more important than the competition use.
Now, let's be clear, though. If you've got a standard 1911 with just the typical safety, I mean, it's doing its job. It's been doing
sure.
its job for years. But there's a lot of reason to have an ambidextrous safety, and if you're going to go that route, I would check out David's product. And once again, it's TatumTactical.com.
Yes, sir.
And is there any number they can call you at, or is that all on your website?
It's on my website, but if you want to catch me, then my number, direct number, is area code 254-534-4975.
Fantastic. David, we're almost out of time, so we're going to say thank you for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, David Tatum, Tatum Tactical, check it out. I've seen his product. I see it work. He's a good guy, good family. They, good to do business with. So check them out, Tatum Tactical. And David, it's always a pleasure to see you. Come on out and cap some rounds with me, okay?
We'll do that. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you, sir. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now before we close up the show here, I just want to remind you we're here live at the Premier Gun Show at the Mayborn Center in Temple, right on 35 here. So come on out and check us out. Check out the website at aaronsgunshop.com. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, and go to the Facebook page, like us on Facebook, let's get those numbers up, and share it with everybody that you know. Also, don't forget that Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service, if you have a party, wedding, corporate event, and you're needing a bartender to serve, not to sell, but to serve, we've got a complete full bar set up here. It's really good to enhance your event. Give us a call. You can check it out on the website at aaronsnightcaps.com. And that'll also lead you to my main website, aaronsgunshop.com. A lot of things going on. And we've got a class on October 8th. That's a license to carry class. October 8th is Saturday at 2 o'clock. The fee for that is $60. And if you already have your license to carry and you want a refresher course, I'm only going to charge $40 for the refresher course. You can also come there. But please go to either aaronsgunshop.com, go to the license to carry page, and sign up there, or send me an email, or give me a call, and we'll get you locked in. But don't just show up. You got to give me a call. Let me know you're coming so we can make sure we got a spot for you. And also, we're working on our final seminar, home invasion self-defense seminar. I think I've got it posted. We may have to change that date, though. Something's come up, and we may have to postpone it. So I'll just keep an eye on the website, and we'll get it going. Also, don't forget, if you got groups of five or more and you want your own little private class or course for home invasion self-defense, we can do that, too. We've got ladies only. We've got co-ed classes. We've got other things, too. Go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the High Cap Adventure page and get to look at all the things that we have there. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. I want to thank all the guests who come on, everybody who's helped me out to do the show. And if you feel like being a sponsor, give me a call. Give me a call at the shop number. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Help us stay on the air, sponsor us, and we'll promote you as well. And we'll have a good time. So until then, keep your powder dry. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week.